We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I'm your host, as always. And joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Today, for the most part, was the last day I had to lecture teach. Everything from here on out is projects and breaking down articles and, of course, finals. So I've basically made it through my first year of teaching, which is pretty cool. I can't believe I made it.
Yeah, just next year you'll be able to get paid doing it.
That'll be nice. I can't wait for that. Really nice. Money's good.
Money is good. Oh, what's up, Galadriel? Hello. Man, it's we were talking off air, you know, as a school counselor, graduation gets a little hectic, and we're 2 weeks away essentially from graduation up here, so it's been a little stressful to say the least, but it's all good. We got a great team up here and we got a great team on the podcast. So today we obviously got some news right before we came on. Shout out to Chase Daniel breaking the news for the Chargers signing of Nick Williams, defensive tackle. So Chargers electing to use one of their final roster spots to add some defensive line depth. So we'll give some thoughts there. And then we'll also the bulk of our show today, we're gonna be breaking down the AFC West draft classes. Excuse me, I almost said AFC West. Whoops. AFC West draft classes, and seeing how the Chargers kind of stack up with things. So like you tweeted out earlier, it's a bit more of a mixed bag this year than it was last year, where there was a pretty clear winner in our opinion. So we'll see how that one goes. And it should be a fun episode today. As always, make sure and like, subscribe, comment, rate, review, all of that. We do really greatly appreciate as we continue to grow the show. All right, Tyler. So Chargers have not officially made it official yet, but according to Chase Daniel, the Chargers have signed former Lions and Bears defensive lineman Nick Williams. He was in Chicago with Mr. Jay Rogers, the Chargers defensive line coach, as well as Brandon Staley for a year. I've been told he's considered a Jay Rogers favorite. So Chargers adding some defensive line depth. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, see, that changes everything. It changes things and based on what this could be. Is this just some guy that was going to, you know, try out and see what you got and bring in a veteran, but, you know, we're going to go somewhere else inevitably? Mm-hmm. But hearing the things about how, you know, Jay Rogers certainly feels about and how much he loves him, like, it's to the point where it does seem like, well, one, that Hinton won't be the sixth guy. And two, it sounds like they would go with someone like Williams over Matlock, which is kind of frustrating because, you know, I had no idea who he was. Then I watched him, loved him. Then you see guys like Daniel Jeremiah having him like really, really high on his board. I didn't even notice that, but he really liked Matlock, certainly not a sixth round guy. And so you feel like, okay, the Chargers really got something, and maybe they still do. But now you bring in a veteran who, nothing wrong with him necessarily, but he is 33 years old. They did sign Kyle Van Noy last year when he like just turned 32 or was about to turn 32. That's not super far off. It's just, I don't know. I would have liked to hope, and we'll see, but I would like to see Matlock be the guy and get that younger rotation in. But it seems like they're going to go with a veteran with Nick Williams. So we'll see what he's got. I have not watched him at all on film. I don't know what he's, you know, what he can do, but you know, if Jay Rogers says, hey, that's my guy, and you know, I guess I'll believe him.
Yeah. So Nick Williams, first and foremost, had a career season under Jay Rogers in Chicago in 2019, easily the best season of his career. So in 2019 with the Bears, he played 532 total snaps, which at the time was a career high. He earned himself a nice little contract and signed with the Lions. But in 2019, he had 21 total pressures. He had 6 sacks, actually, 26 defensive stops. He was top 30 in the league in run stop percentage among defensive linemen with at least 20% of the run defense snaps. So Jay Rogers knows how to use him, and Jay Rogers clearly is a big fan of his. And you know, we'll see really what his role is. I have a hard time at this point picturing a 33-year-old veteran like playing significant snaps over Scott Matlock, but you know, stranger things have happened. We've seen the Chargers, you know, take it easy with their day three rookies. They're not going to force Matlock to, you know, play if he's not ready. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that one pans out. This, to me, it's just insurance if Austin Johnson or Otito Ogbonia are not ready to start the season right away, you know. And so Nick Williams can come in. He can be your Christian Covington type, you know, guy who can be interior defensive lineman number 5, number 6. If you need a run defense heavy week, he can play run defense. If you need more of a pass rush heavy week, you know, Scott Matlock can be that last guy. So we'll see what the role is, but I think this is, in my opinion, this is more about insurance for Johnson, Ogbonia not necessarily being ready, and also like if Matlock isn't necessarily ready to hit the ground running, then Nick Williams can be your fifth defensive lineman active on game day to start the season.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm really curious what they'll end up doing with their roster management overall, because as things currently stand, you know, the switch last year was, okay, let's carry 6 defensive tackles.
Yeah.
This year, it seems like they're going to go with 6 wide receivers, which I think would be the smart move, and especially considering the guys that they have. So do they keep 6 this year? Do they keep 5? Are, you know, 5 active again, 1 inactive? Do you only carry 5 this year, which is a mistake that they learned from 2021? But like, how do you balance this group out? And then the obvious question is, who do you take from? Is that tight end? I mean, you only keep 3 tight ends this year? I guess you would do that, but I don't love that idea either. So you can't take it from quarterback because you're gonna have 3 quarterbacks. I don't know.
Yeah, if you really look at the, you know, we did a post-draft depth chart analysis. Mm-hmm. So we'll just pull this up, and I already added Nick Williams in here.
Nice.
You know, so you have like presumably Morgan Fox, Austin Johnson, Sebastian Joseph Day starting, and then Scott Matlock and Otito Ogbonia kind of, at least roster construction wise, locked into roster spots. Mm-hmm. So if you have Nick Williams as kind of your Christian Covington replacement, obviously that moves Chris Hinton to a depth piece, you know, borderline roster. But if you look at this defensive tackle room in general, I think you feel really good about this group with the overall construction. I mean, you've got some quality starters in Fox, Johnson, Joseph Day. You've got a rookie to develop in Scott Matlock. You've got a guy who, if he's healthy, could take another step in Otito Ogbonia. A veteran Nick Williams, and then you've got some developmental pieces, Chris Hinton, Gerard Clark, Terrence Lang, David Moa. Like this group should be a lot of fun to watch in training camp because they actually go really like, I think Chris Hinton is a guy who could really make this roster still, even with this signing. I don't think that would preclude them from keeping Hinton. A lot of people like Jerod Clark. I don't really share those same feelings, but I think at least as a nose tackle, he has a lot to offer. So if you look like 1 through 8, like I think this is a really good defensive tackle room for the Chargers.
So if, and I don't know if you would even know this answer yet, but Jerod Clark seems to be everyone's favorite right now. So Nick Williams would push his specific role more because Jerod Clark's more your nose tackle type, or do you think Nick Williams is more like?
Yeah, so Nick Williams is more of a 3-tech, 5-tech who can play nose. Okay. So that's why I kind of put him as Chris Hinton. I mean, Otito Ogbonia is your backup nose. Like that's the thing that people who like Jerod Clark are not necessarily like taking into account is that, you know, Joseph Day is going to start at the nose and then Ogbonia is going to be the backup. Like, are you really going to put 3 nose tackles on the active roster? I don't really see that happening. Like, I think you have to have a little bit more versatility. So Nick Williams has pass rush production to his resume. I mean, 26 pressures and 6 sacks is nothing to sneeze at for an interior defensive lineman who's probably interior defensive lineman 4 or 5 on that roster. Back on the Bears, I know it was obviously 4 years ago, but Chris Hinton too, like he can play all across the line. Nick Williams can play all across the line. So, you know, I think the Chargers have shown that if they're going to carry 6, they want 2 pass rushers, Fox, Matlock. They want 2 nose tackles, Joseph Day and Otito Ogbonia. And then the other 2 have to be able to play all across the line. Like you have to play nose, 3-tech, 5-tech, and you just kind of fill in the gaps. And that's what Johnson and Nick Williams or Chris Hinton can be. Like if you have Jerod Clark in there, I think you just have too much redundancy.
Yeah, that makes sense. What was Nick Williams' injury last year? Solomon was asking.
It was a torn bicep, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Lovely.
So he's considered fully healthy and cleared, according to other people.
I mean, yeah, he's signed, so I'm assuming that he would be
cleared. Yeah, you have to pass a physical, so, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would love to see his film. I'd love to see how he does in training camp. I really don't think, like, yeah, he's slotted in, I guess. But like you said, it's not set in stone. There's a lot of guys here who could take that spot. Or they go with 5 and say that Thule can play some inside or something.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think that signing Nick Williams on May 18th precludes them from, you know, choosing him over Chris Hinton. Or I don't think it, you know, precludes them from choosing 5 instead. Like, this is insurance to me. Like, let's get to camp. Let's see how Austin Johnson and Otito Ogbonia are doing. Let's see how Scott Matlack looks, like, really, you know, against the run and stuff like that. So this is just your Christian Covington 2.0, essentially.
Okay. Cool.
So question from, I think this is David Thompson. I don't understand all the letters here. He wants to know, how do we only choose 6 of those defensive linemen? How do we stop our practice squad players from getting jacked?
Well, good question. Choosing the 6th is tough. I mean, okay, there's 5 set in stone. So, yeah. And I do think that, you know, if we were, what we were told is sort of to be believed, then Nick Williams is your other guy. Because if Jay Rogers loves you, and there's even the slightest indication in May that he could even be active over someone like Matlock, I mean, I think that's your 6 right there, as long as nobody gets hurt. Yeah. I guess the question sort of becomes, how do you balance, let's say Otito has another month to go when the season starts to even get back onto the field. How do you balance that? As far as practice squad players, nothing you can do. Although the Chargers have tried to do the last 2 years, some like practice squad versus active roster, or at least the initial roster kind of management. So, I mean, Forrest Merrill is now in Seattle and he made the roster for a day over Cortez Broughton, who went to the Chiefs. Who is it? Braden Fajoco, the other guy, what's his name?
Gaziano.
Thank you, Gaziano. And they were just trying to play that game last year. Same thing, kind of tried to play that game. So we might see like a funky 6th guy kept, but it's kind of temporary as they're trying to play the roster game.
Yeah. I will say for Jerod Clark, like if Otito is just not ready to go, then that's Jerod Clark's way to make the roster, right? As the backup knows, because Otito's not healthy. So, you know, if you place Otito on the PUP list to start the season, then he obviously does not you know, count towards your roster construction, and then you have to activate him, place him on IR or whatever. So that's the way for Jerod Clark to make the roster, in my opinion. I think if Otito is healthy, then Jerod basically has no chance. So
yeah,
we'll see how that one goes. But it is curious, because I thought that, like you said earlier, maybe this is kind of the season where they're not able to keep six defensive linemen. I think this seals that they will keep six. It just kind of depends who exactly is the six.
Yeah, and not that it does, but to me it feels like it does rule out Kyle Van Noy coming back. Completely different positions, but you're running out of space.
Yeah,
and I think you now have your four edge rushers that you're going to definitely go with, and you have your defensive tackle. So like, I think the ship has kind of sailed on Kyle Van Noy at this point, which is sort of the point of the signing, right? To try to get some sort of comp pick for these guys. But yeah, for any hope that maybe he'd be back, it's weird to say that a defensive tackle that's 33 would change that. But I just feel like with one spot to go, you're looking at tight end, tackle, whatever. And I think it goes to one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, so just so we're clear, the Chargers roster is at 89 players after signing Nick Williams. So unless they wanted to cut somebody, they have one more spot left. So I don't know. Carter asking right on cue, right? With John Johnson, what's happening with him?
Yeah.
We haven't really heard anything. It's been super weird, because like the second free agency started, you know, Jeremy Fowler was like, oh, the Chargers are interested in signing John Johnson. It's like, great. Understand. Makes sense. Let's go. but nothing's happened yet. He's still a free agent. So I kind of tend to think that the Chargers are going to get to training camp and see what JT Woods looks like. This is just my opinion. I do not have a source here. I think if they're going to sign somebody, I think the last player is going to be an offensive player, whether it's tight end, offensive tackle, running back. Like, if Austin Ekeler is going to be holding out at training camp, they're going to need another running back just for, like, you know, sheer practice purposes. So,
yeah,
I think they're kind of in wait and see mode until they can get to camp and figure out who's where, what kind of contract situations are we dealing with Austin Ekeler and I don't know if anybody else, but I think the last roster spot is going to be an offensive guy personally.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. You listed tackle, you listed tight end, you just listed running back. Like, any of those spots are an easy yes for me, depending on who it is, but they need a guy at really all three of those spots, and they've got one left. Like you said, they could cut somebody, but they got to add a tackle, right? Like, are we going to do this again? You know, you know, roll the dice again and hope Sarah turns out like Trey Pipkins, granted, not a starter, but still you're hoping for significant improvement. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting to say the least here. Before we get to the AFC West stuff, we shared this news that Nick Williams was expected to sign yesterday in our Discord. So please make sure and join up. I think it's worth the amount of money that you have to pay for each month. So
appreciate. I didn't even know we did that. So great. Good for us.
I messaged you yesterday and told you that I shared that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more just about the Jay Rogers stuff. I didn't know about the signing stuff.
Yeah, yeah. My mistake, I guess. Could have been clear. But yeah, shared that I expected that signing to get done in the Discord yesterday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Tyler, any other thoughts before we move into the AFC West draft rankings?
No, only that if I'm about to say something nice about the Raiders, it's because I'm doing it out of objectivity here. Because we're about to say something nice about the Raiders, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. Again, last year at this time, the Chiefs pretty clearly had like the best draft. We'll see how it goes this year. So Tyler, if you want to put the screenshots up on the screen, we'll run through each and then we'll kind of give some thoughts here. So for our audio audience, obviously, we'll start with the Raiders here. They kicked it off with Tyree Wilson in the first round, Michael Mayer in the second round, Alabama defensive lineman Byron Young in the third round, Cincinnati receiver slash return specialist Trey Tucker. Was that also third round?
I can't see.
Cornerback from Maryland, Ja'Korian Bennett. And then they took quarterback Aiden O'Connell from Purdue, Chris Smith, the safety from Georgia, edge rusher Amari Bailey, and then how do you say that?
Nesta Jade Silvera, it looks like.
Okay. What position does he play? I can't read it.
That's a great question. The Raiders are the only team that did it like this, where it's an infinitely small font, and I have no idea what it says. Everyone else in the AFC West had the exact same, like, hold on. He looks like halfback.
I was going to say, he's definitely a beefy guy, like defensive tackle or offensive lineman or something.
No, it looks like a running back. Looks like round seven. I'm an idiot. Defensive tackle. Yeah, we're prepared.
Round
for
seven,
this.
RB. Yeah, makes sense here. So, Tyler, what do you make of the Raiders draft class?
They had a good one, honestly. They last year made some questionable picks. Like, I liked the players in general, but I feel like looking at their roster, it's like you guys should probably get like a corner or something,
or an offensive lineman.
Or anything that makes a little bit of sense, giving you roster needs. But hey, spent a ton of money on Devontae Adams, and you know that's what they did. But you know, other than like Chris Smith, to me is like the quote unquote steal for them here. The one that's like, ooh, you get extra value considering. Like, I don't think he was worth a fifth round selection. I think he was someone who should have gone higher than that. But he got them in the fifth round, so that's pretty good. But otherwise, just really, really solid, especially that 1, 2, 3. You know, they didn't. You know. Tyree Wilson didn't really fall to them at seven. You know, maybe he could have gone, you know, 3 or 4 or something, or 6, whatever. But, you know, 7 solid. I think Michael Mayer in the second round is honestly very solid for them, considering he could have gone to the Chargers in the first round. Byron Young to the, you know, from the I'm going to say the Packers, from Alabama. Solid pick there. So I did not watch Ja'Korian Bennett. Did not intentionally watch Aiden O'Connell, but other guys that I did watch, you know, Tyree Wilson, Michael Mayer, Byron Young, that's a really, really solid 1, 2, 3. Trey Tucker, thought that was pretty early. I think Tyler Scott was someone I think we all liked more and thought would go earlier. I guess maybe more receiver type versus receiver slash returner type. But yeah, I honestly really like the Raiders draft class in terms of the guys that I know. I think it was solid 1, 2, 3. I think Chris Smith is a nice value guy. Pretty solid draft, much better than last year's.
Yeah, definitely much better than last year's. I mean, they didn't have a first round pick last year, so you know, tough to really gauge that. But I like Tyree Wilson. I mean, the film is a ton of fun. Obviously, the biggest question there is health and probably role too, because obviously you have Max Crosby and Chandler Jones there. So how much does Tyree Wilson really play in year one? But if you could drum up a perfect tight end in the Raiders offense, it's probably Michael Mayer. I think the baby Gronk comparisons were a bit much, but just like stylistically, like him and Hunter Henry are probably pretty similar. And we know how good Hunter Henry was his first year in New England with Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels. So I think Michael Mayer is going to play a lot. I think he's going to be their tight end one. Like, that's really good value for them in the second round. I mean, we kind of thought that the Chargers might be interested in taking him at 21. So getting him where they got him is really good value. I know they had to trade up to get him, but you know, I'm cool with that. Defensive line, I thought, was a concern. So getting Byron Young in there, makes a lot of sense. Good quality 3-tech, 5-tech run defender to kind of pair with Neil Farrell and those guys at the nose. So I like him. Trey Tucker in the third round is way too rich for me. He was drafted before Tyler Scott, which is, I think, kind of ridiculous. Ja'Korian Bennett, I did not watch him like I did not focus in on him and grade him, but had some good flashes when I watched him in passing, and like his teammate Deontay Banks, Bennett's a freak athlete and he'll probably play a lot. Like of these guys, like I think he probably challenges Mayer for like most snaps right away. Aiden O'Connell was probably my favorite backup quarterback in the class. I just like big, strong, has a good arm, good accuracy. He's just a statue, can't move. but I still think there's a place for that in the league. Like you said, Chris Bennett, probably their biggest steal. His film was really, really good. You know, film of definitely a top 100 pick. Just did not test very well, which is, it's so funny to me, like looking at Georgia defensive players, and it's like they're all freaks except for safeties. Their safeties always test really poorly. I don't understand it. Marco was the same way. But I really like Chris Smith. And then the last two hadn't even heard of until, you know, draft night. So yeah. I like the Raiders draft. I think probably round 2 and 3 are probably my favorite of the AFC West, just in terms of like value and players, in terms of Michael Mayer and Byron Young.
Yeah.
Not Trey Tucker, obviously, but those picks 2 and 3, I guess, should be more accurate there. So I like the class. I don't love it, but if Tyree Wilson hits, man, then this could be a great class.
Yeah, no, definitely. How far does Byron Young go on this depth chart this year? I don't know, but you know, he's a guy you'd love to develop. Mayer starts right away. Tyree Wilson, if he hits, like if he hits, and if Trey Tucker is honestly their starting returner, then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 guys that are starting. If Bennett's already going to be playing early because they don't have a lot at corner, I mean, you went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with guys that can start.
And Chris Smith could start for them, honestly, too. I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're all great, because the Raiders don't have, like, the most...
the defensive depth chart is terrible.
Right. So, you know, I could potentially... Uh-oh. Solo Man says, Steven knows who Amari Burney is. He's the Florida linebacker with the game-winning pick. I'm guessing...
I didn't know his name. I thought Ventro Miller was the one who had the game-winning pick.
No, Ventro Miller had a fourth down stop at the goal line. But I guess Bernie had the pick.
I thought he was an edge rusher. I think he's listed as an edge rusher, so I don't know.
I have no idea, but you're being called out. Solo Man, the big Florida guy. He called me out earlier for not knowing that Osiris Torrance was not on Florida, so oops.
Yeah, it's all good here. All right, we'll move on next here to the Broncos class. Oh, I hit next God. As well. Okay. So Broncos did a lot of moving around the board, only ended up with 5 picks. I think they entered the draft with like 10, all mostly like late day 2, early day 3. So they traded around a lot. Marvin Mims, who we really liked in round 2 at pick 63. Mm-hmm. Drew Sanders in round 3, pick 67, the linebacker from Arkansas. Riley Moss, the corner. I think he also might be potentially playing safety for them. Pick 83. J.L. Skinner, Boise State safety, round 6. And then Alex Forsyth, the center from Oregon, down in round 7. So, Tyler, what do you make of the Broncos' small draft class?
It's really solid. I mean, Marvin Mims in the second round, great. That's where, you know, you should probably be taking him. Maybe he could have slid to the third, because I think some people were concerned about, like, medicals or something. But fine, at least they cleared him out. Drew Sanders, he went as linebacker...
I want to say it was like linebacker 5.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, so Sanders in round 3 is really, really solid. I think he was, you know, the other guy after Jack Campbell who, okay, maybe if you want like a more pure linebacker, I guess that's maybe someone like Simpson, but, you know, I think Sanders is a guy that they, you know, he'd love to take and develop. So that's just adding to a really nice rotation for them. I don't know what they'll do, because they've kind of done this thing where they have a linebacker and you move him to edge, or this guy can play stand-up or whatever. So fun for their group for sure. Didn't know who Riley Moss was. All I know is that everyone commented that he's white. that's just what every Broncos fan said after they drafted him. So there's that. And then J.L. Skinner. I had did I have a second or third round grade on him?
Yeah, you really liked him. It was just the injury.
I did really like him. Yeah, he was either 5th or 6th for me in terms of safeties in the entire class. He just had his injury, which I believe was an upper body injury. And so... I mean, not losing your knees or anything, that's great, or it's a hamstring injury. So, hey, if he comes back from that, this is probably the best value pick of all 4 classes. And then Alex Forsyth, I did not watch. So, of the guys I watched, which is only 3, Mims, Sanders, Skinner, great. Like, I think that's really, really solid work. The other 2 guys just didn't watch him. So, to me, it seems like a good class. I don't know what they gave up in terms of moving up, moving down, whatever. So maybe some people wouldn't like this class as much because they gave up, you know, two picks for somebody. But just looking at the players that are here, solid work.
Yeah, because they moved up for Mims and Moss. So it's not like they were, you know, I mean, they didn't have a fourth and a fifth round pick because they were moving around so much. Have to correct myself. Sanders was LB3 off of the board. So just very late. Obviously, the league was not super high on the linebacker class in general. So,
yeah.
I understand the hesitation on the linebackers. I mean, we didn't like the class either, but getting Drew Sanders in the third round at pick 67, that's really good value. I still had him as a top 40 player in the class. So, you know, how they play him, we'll see, because, you know, they have Josie Jewell. They have some other guys that they like in terms of veterans off the ball. Maybe he can play some edge for them like he did Alabama. I don't really know. We'll see how much he plays, but I still really like the value there. So I don't think they got like an immediate starter here. Like, we'll see what they do with their wide receiver room. You know, there's been some chatter again about them trading some pieces, but like, you know, they have obviously Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler. So he's kind of like the same player stylistically as KJ Hamler. So maybe that's his role. Maybe he's your immediate punt returner, kick returner type. And then, you know, you'll see what you do with after that. So, you know, we'll see. Like, I don't know if they really got an immediate start. I guess Riley Moss could play safety or corner for them. JL Skinner kind of depends on the health. So I like the players. I like the value of where they got those players. I just like looking at their team and the positions. I don't know if they really got a true starter right away.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with Marvin Mims. Cortland Sutton had his extension last year, I think, is when he got the new deal, or the year before.
Yeah, so they extended both Sutton and Patrick last year.
And then Jeudy was a 2019 pick or 2020? 2020. Because I didn't watch that class, and you guys graded him, right?
Is that right? Was he the same class as Justin Herbert? I can't remember now. He was 2020. Yeah, so he's going to be playing on the fifth-year option next year.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And did they exercise that option?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems like a good class overall. Like you said, no immediate starters. Of course, if you don't pick till 63, it's difficult to do that. But, the fit's interesting. I'm curious about what they're going to do with Sanders. But I guess, I mean, the Chiefs took Leo Chenal in the third round last year, and he's just like their fifth linebacker now. But they feel really good about that because that's a heck of a linebacker group.
Must be nice. Must be nice. all right, Tyler, let's get to the Chiefs class now.
Okay.
So again, love the Chiefs draft last year. They got like six starters out of it. It's kind of ridiculous. Ended the first round with Felix Anudike Uzama from Kansas State, the edge rusher. Took Rashee Rice, the wide receiver from SMU at pick 55. Wanye Morris, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma at pick 92. Chamari Connor, the corner from Virginia Tech at 119. BJ Thompson, the edge rusher from Stephen F. Austin at 166. Keandre Coburn, the defensive lineman from Texas at 194. And then Nick Jones, the corner from Ball State at 250. Tyler, your thoughts here?
The part for me that's tough is I didn't watch Rashee Rice. So I would kind of lean on you in that regard, but
yeah,
Felix Anudike Uzama was like a awesome, perfect fit for them. And it's kind of frustrating looking at their defensive line and just seeing the way they're really their front seven, how they're accumulating, you know, these guys, how they did it last year, how they did it this year in free agency, and then just adding Anudike Uzama to go next to, or I guess the other side of George Karlaftis. That's a really, really good group. And it really just signals like, the Chiefs know what they want. It was kind of predictable. Like if they went in for an edge rusher sort of type, this was it. Like this made a ton of sense for them. So in terms of identifying exactly what they need and going for it, perfect. Rice, I don't know anything about. I apologize. Wanya Morris is a guy they can have as their, I mean, that's your third tackle. It was great. Like you just adding another guy to your room, you know, Taylor's going to start. And oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the other guy's name. Who's their other tackle?
Well, they signed Donovan Smith just barely probably to start left tackle, but Lucas Niang is their probably other potential swing tackle.
Oh, and they have Niang. So yeah, it's a heck of a tackle room. Or not like the strongest starting room or any by any means. You know, the Chargers tackles are better, but nice quattro of people to work with. Did not watch Jamari Connor, did not watch BJ Thompson. I think Coburn, just watching him, you could tell there was so much talent with that guy. So them getting him in the sixth round just to add to their arsenal of pass rushers, run defenders, whatever on the interior is great. So didn't watch Thompson. I'm not very helpful today. Didn't watch Rice, didn't watch Connor, didn't watch Thompson, didn't watch Jones. Sorry, I didn't watch Nick Jones from Ball State or whatever SFA even was. But
Stephen F. Austin.
Great. That's a real school.
But it's definitely more of a basketball school. I feel like they're in the NCAA tournament like every other year.
Yeah, good for them. So Enodike Uzomah, great. Morris, great. Coburn, great. Everybody else, I genuinely did not watch, so I apologize.
No, it's all good. Starting with Enodike Uzomah, I don't think he's going to start right away. They signed Charles Omenihu from the Niners to a pretty decent contract, so I think him and Karlaftis are probably going to start, but I mean, they definitely have a type when it comes to defensive ends. I mean, Karlaftis, Omenihu, Felix Enodike Uzomah, and then Mike Dana, I forget how you pronounce it, is probably their fourth edge rusher, and all four of them probably have very similar physical profiles if you looked at them. So they definitely have a type. I like that fit for Enodike Uzomah. He doesn't have to come in and be the starter right away. He can, you know, develop. And just in general, like, the Chiefs have really kind of flipped their personnel philosophies. Like, they're really investing a lot of draft resources into front seven players, like Tyler was talking about earlier, as well as offensive linemen. I mean, you look up and down their offensive line depth chart too. I don't think it's necessarily like an elite unit, but they have depth at every single spot. Like Wanya Morris, Lucas Niang, that's a really good backup tackle group. They drafted Darian Kennard last year. They drafted Nick Allegretti in 2019. You know, he's played some good ball for them previously. You have Austin Reeder, who was their starting center for the Super Bowl season. He's their backup center now behind Creed Humphrey. Like, they just have really done a good job with the trenches, and I hate it. So I think they've really kind of flipped that philosophy on its head, because I feel like in the previous few drafts before 2022, it was a lot of like, hey, let's take a safety here, let's take a backup tight end, let's take a running back. Like, it was not a lot of trench picks. And then the last 2 years, they've really done a good job there. So Rashee Rice, he was one of my lowest graded receivers. I graded 17. I think he was like 16th on my board.
Jeez.
I was not a huge fan of his. I just felt like I didn't see anything like athletically that really made me think that he could live on the outside. And like, that's his physical profile. But they view him as a Juju replacement. Like, they want him being a big slot receiver. So we'll see. You know, if there's any team that can figure it out, it's the Chiefs. And he gets to play with Patrick Mahomes, so he's probably going to make me eat my words there. Wanya Morris, perfect, like, long-term Orlando Brown replacement for them. So I'm a big fan of that one. Did not watch Connor or Thompson. Keandre Coburn, though, really classic, like, nose tackle type. So he's a great fit there. Didn't watch Nick Jones. So similar to the Broncos, I like the players they took at certain spots, but I don't think they got really like an immediate starter, because like Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are probably going to be their regular slot receivers. So I don't really understand why you draft Rashee Rice if you think he's a slot receiver too. But again, like, if there's a team who'll figure it out, it's probably the Chiefs.
Yeah, I respect their commitment to now investing in receiver. I mean, trade, second rounder last year, second rounder this year, and they won a Super Bowl. So who am I to tell them that that's not a good idea?
Yeah. I mean, you look at this receiver depth chart, man, and like, individually, like, talent-wise, it's not that good.
No.
I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is probably their wide receiver one now. Like, it's just, it's not very good. I mean, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, James Ritchie, Justin Watson, and Rashee Rice, and then they have Justin Ross, Amir Smith-Marset, Cornell Powell. Like, they don't really have any like proven production guys, but it's the Chiefs, so it's like, they could just get the benefit of the doubt and they'll figure it out, and they still have Travis Kelce.
I didn't realize John Ross signed with the Chiefs. He's on their depth chart.
Yeah.
I don't mean Justin did, Ross. Yeah. I mean John Ross. I had no idea that he was on the Chiefs. Oh, wow.
So
it's interesting. It's not, again, that's not like a great room, but I mean, they have like Richie James is a wide receiver 5. Justin Watson had a day against JC Jackson. And then just the combination of like all these guys, like John Ross is like their wide receiver 7, Justin Ross, Amir Smith-Marset, Cornell Powell still on there, Ty Freifogel, like a lot of guys that they're just sort of trying to work with to bring into the rotation, draft pick early, late, signing, trade, whatever. I'm sure one of them is going to have a whopping like 700 yards max and they'll still win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, one of them is going to become relevant. So if I had to like bet who leads their receiver room in yards, I think I might like talk myself into Kadarius Toney being that guy. Like, I mean, he was the one who got the most playing time and touches down the stretch. Although Mark Rosales-Scanling had a really good, was it the divisional round against the Bengals?
I don't recall.
He went for like a buck 20 in one of the playoff games. So maybe it's Valdes-Scanling. It's just like, he's never been that guy. He's always just been more of like a 2 or a 3.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. All right, let's look at the Chargers graphic here next. Obviously, we've talked a lot about this, but had a lot of time to simmer on this. Quentin Johnston, Tuli Tuipulotu, Deion Henley, Darius Davis, Jordan McFadden, Scott Matlock, and Max Duggan. So I guess the kind of the theme for all of these teams is maybe not getting a ton of immediate starters, but guys who will still play a lot. Although, obviously, Quentin Johnston, we think, is going to be a starter from day one, but... how do you feel like the Chargers class stacks up now looking at the rest of the group, Tyler?
It's okay. Well, here's the unfair thing. Other than Duggan, who I've unintentionally watched like 6 different times during the last draft class, I've watched all these players. So I know who Scott Matlock is. I know who Jordan McFadden is now. I didn't before the draft. So there are probably players for the other classes who are genuinely good prospects for where they were drafted. I just did not watch them. I genuinely feel like, if just looking at this, Johnson's already a starter. Even though he's wide receiver 3, they're going to run a ton of wide receiver 3s. 3 receiver sets.
Yeah,
that's there. Nobody else on this group is starting. You can call them, you know, a very, you know, a 1.5, you know, starter edge 1 and 2.5, whatever for Tuli's whip below 2.
Yeah,
but none of these guys are starting outside of Darius Davis as their returner, and kind of like Trey Tucker. One, that was a bit early, and two, he's just you know, started by default. So I genuinely do not know which class I would put first. I've watched all the Chargers class, so for me it's like, okay, like I can see, and sure, I do really like this draft class quite a bit, but how do I compare that to this group that also has a solid first round pick, maybe a receiver who can eventually start, a good developmental tackle, like the Chargers got a developmental linebacker. You know, if I like JL Skinner for them, I like Matlock for us. So I really don't know how to stack up all these classes, except for I honestly do think the Raiders got the most immediate starter potential group. Yeah. Does that mean they're the best? I don't know. But Wilson, I mean, he might start. We'll see what happens with Jones. But then Mayer, Tucker, Chris Smith could definitely start. So Chargers, I think, are jockeying for me for like 1B or 2, I think. And I potentially, can't believe I'm saying it, might like the Raiders draft class the most of all 4. But they also picked the earliest. So it's like, you know, I'm looking at Tyree Wilson and Michael Mayer versus when the Broncos picked at 63
with
Marvin Mims. I think Mims, Sanders, Skinner might be one of the best, like, trio of picks of all the classes, but I don't know, man. I'm really, really struggling to figure out where the Chargers are here. I do think it's a good class. I just think everyone did a good job, and so it's tough to really, you know, figure out who's better than who.
Yeah, I think if you're basing this off of like immediate starting players, like it has to be the Raiders, right? Because the Raiders, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because they picked earlier. They also had the most holes. Like they don't have good defensive players, and they picked a lot of defensive players. So, you know, immediate impact, probably the Raiders win that debate. In terms of like highest upside class, like, I do think it might be the Broncos, like, in terms of just like top to bottom. I know it's a smaller class, but
yeah,
you know, I really loved Marvin Mims. Drew Sanders is probably going to end up being a starting linebacker for them. Riley Moss, if he's a starting corner, like, that's really good value.
Yeah.
You like JL Skinner. I didn't watch him because of the injury. And a lot of people like Alex Forsythe. I mean, I watched him casually. I did not sit down and grade him. Mm-hmm. But if he's your starting center down the road, like, that can change some things. But in terms of like highest potential, like, I think the Broncos have an argument here.
Yeah, it would really come down to Riley Moss for me. Like, Forsythe is a feature center, cool. Moss is the only one I literally feel like I know nothing about, because yeah, I watched everybody else on Iowa but him. So
right,
yeah, your third round pick is a guy I didn't watch, so it's really tough to officially judge them. And I'll be honest, I don't think I heard a single person talking about Riley Moss. Does that mean he's bad? No, I just, like, I never heard anybody say, oh yeah, man, this guy who could sneak into round three, check him out. Didn't for one second know who Riley Moss was. No offense, I just, you know, you only have so much time.
Yeah. And it was tough in this corner class too, for like those like round three, round four guys to like separate themselves and create buzz. Cause it was like I talked about, like my guy, Clark Phillips, he was a fourth round pick in a normal cornerback class. He's probably a late second, early third round pick, but this, mm-hmm, this cornerback group just went like 25 players deep, and yeah, Moss might be safety for the Broncos. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing there.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, is I think for the Broncos, the ceiling is certainly there. I just have no idea what some of these guys' roles are going to be. Technically, JL Skinner, I have no idea what he's going to be, because at Boise State, he was more of, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage guy. I think he's a better free safety. So what is their role for him? I don't know. Marvin Mims, where does he fit in? Drew Sanders, you have so many linebackers and a collection, right, of edge rushers. So where does he play? So more questions. I think the Raiders have like a very, we're starting these guys, we're playing these guys, they're good players, here's our class. And you kind of just, for the most part, know what their role is going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that is fair to say. I mean, like, the Raiders have the most holes for sure, but the Chiefs draft, again, I feel is really solid. It's like, I haven't watched all these players, but I feel like Chiefs fans probably feel the same way that we feel about the Chargers class, where it's like, okay, maybe you didn't love it like at first glance, but like, yeah, you dive into the film later on and you just really kind of find roles for these players and you really start to like it again. So overall, I really like the philosophy of the Chiefs draft. I mean, you're talking about two edge rushers, you're talking about a wide receiver,
yeah,
an offensive tackle, two corners, although I've seen some people suggest Nick Jones might be a safety for them. So we'll see about that one, but mostly premium positions and then a run stuffing defensive tackle. So I feel like the Chiefs and the Chargers classes are probably a little on par with each other, just like overall. Although, yeah, I do think I would rather have Quentin and Thule over Felix and Rashee Rice.
That I think I would agree with. Again, I didn't watch Rashee Rice, but I think I would agree with that.
But then you're like, okay, Deion Henley's going to be a lot of fun, but I think I would rather have Wanya Morris over Deion Henley.
I would agree with that. I would no offense, but again, I would agree with that. Offensive tackle is very much needed.
Yeah. So I think that Chargers probably playing for second here. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah.
Just based off of the Raiders. Again, you know, I hate to compliment the Raiders, but they really did have a solid draft, man. I really like the value where they got each of those players. I mean, you're talking about, again, Tyree Wilson probably not starting right away, but Mayer and Young probably starting. Ja'Cory Bennett could start. Chris Smith could start. Trey Tucker at least is going to be a returner. So the Raiders got a lot of value, and it's definitely a lot better than last year. So I think for me, it's not a runaway pick like last year. Like, we loved the Chiefs draft, but
yeah,
I do think you probably have to give the Raiders the nod in terms of best class and certainly most immediate impact.
Yeah, I can't believe we're saying that. I mean, last year it was the Chiefs had by far and away the best class in the AFC West, and, you know, arguably the best in the NFL as is at the time. Although I think like the Jets and Giants are pretty close there, and that pretty much panned out. But yeah, by the slimmest margins, partially because they're of their roster, partially because they picked earlier. Yeah, I would say the Raiders, but they'll find a way to screw it up.
Probably, man. I saw Vic Tafer pointed this out that the Raiders have, I think he pointed out that it was like 45 new players from last year's roster. Like they've had a ton of turnover, like so much turnover from last year.
Jeez, I didn't know that. I didn't even know you could turn over that many players.
Me neither. And I will say, like, their offensive line needs a lot of help still. Like, I do think that you can maybe ding them for not drafting an offensive lineman.
Fair enough.
Maybe not at those spots where they took Tyree and Michael Mayer, but, like, in the third round, mm-hmm. they probably should have drafted an offensive lineman, certainly in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. I remember they, like, teams were starting to trade up, on, like, all over the place for offensive linemen in the fourth round. I mean, Nick Saldivari was the first fourth-round pick. And they're like, oh, we're good with Trey Tucker. It's like, you probably should take an offensive lineman here somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And I guess Trey Tucker. So, okay.
And they signed DeAndre Carter. It's
like... Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, yeah, they have Carter. They do still have Renfro. So, it's in, not that he's their kick returner, but he can return punts. So, yeah, that's definitely the pick. If that were Wanya Morris, for example, it's easily this class.
Yeah.
But, you know, not that Trey Tucker's bad. It's just the fit, I guess.
Yeah, Wanya Morris would be their starting right tackle, like, pretty comfortably if they took him instead of Byron Young.
God, who is on their offensive line? I say that every year, and then the Chargers get, like, two pressures.
I know, right?
In the Vegas game. Yeah, so.
I want to look this up, too.
Yeah, I actually have no idea who. Okay, so Parham's a starter.
Oh, you have it right now?
No, I'm just throwing it out. Parham's a starter. Colton Miller's a starter. Probably some guy whose name I made fun of last year that is probably pretty solid, who beat up Jerry Tillery or something, I'm sure.
And now they're teammates.
Yeah. Jerry Tillery's a high contract.
Okay, our lads being really slow. There we go. Okay, so our lads has their starting five as left tackle Colton Miller. Really solid player, good left tackle. Dylan Parham, left guard. Andre James, starting center. Alex Bars as their right guard. I don't even know who that is.
Every year, man.
Every year. And then right tackle, like, they have Jermaine Ulumenior, but they also re-signed Brandon Parker. And then Thayer Munford was also starting games for them at some point. They signed Curtis McLennan as an undrafted free agent. He probably ends up starting for them at some point.
McLennan was Georgia?
He was the Chattanooga guy that the Chargers, like, met with a bunch of times.
Is his first name McLennan or last name?
First name.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So right now their swing tackle or their backup left tackle is listed as Justin Heron from New England. Their swing guard is Netane Muti, who, like, has barely played. So yeah, their offensive line's kind of a mess.
Yeah, not so hot. Although I guess no barking. Anyway, I'm sure they're looking. I'm sure that, you know, Raiders fans are looking at our roster, going, "Who's Foster, Serrell, and Nick Melsop? Who are those people?" Which, to be fair, I think some Chargers fans are also saying that.
I was gonna say. So. Yeah, like I said earlier, the Raiders, I think, get the most immediate impact, but I still think there's some things you can nitpick. Certainly not like a runaway like last year.
Okay, who's the best pick of all four classes?
The best pick?
Not like best player, obviously, but...
You're probably talking about like value, stuff like that. Let's run through this again. I would say Wanya Morris in the third round. I think getting a potential starting right tackle in the third round, and he fits perfectly what they like.
Yeah.
I like the player a lot. I had him as a round two grade. So getting him at pick 92, I would say, like, value, premium position, all that stuff, player talent. I think Wanya Morris is probably the best pick of this, of the four teams.
Yeah. I think I would agree. I'm partial to McFadden because, you know, I think he can legitimately be something, but, probably a shorter and easier path to Morris contributing, not maybe this year, but, you know, in the future and being that long-term replacement. So yeah, Morris is one of the guys, or JL Skinner for me if he's healthy.
Yeah, if you're talking best day three pick, I think McFadden has
yeah,
definitely the better chance to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where does Max Duggan rank for you on all four classes?
I don't want to talk bad about Max Duggan, man. I think it's funny, like, you see the pictures and the videos of Quentin, like, catching passes from Justin Herbert for the first time. Dude just has the biggest smiles on his face. He's like, this is nice. I can get used to this.
I know. He was so happy in the interview, man. He's like, yeah. I watched the interview, and he seemed so happy. And, yeah, man, the whole different thing going from, again, no offense, but Justin Herbert versus most players, you know, most quarterbacks taking the first two rounds, very different, let alone, you know, Herbert to Duggan.
I mean, Max Duggan could have been, like, he was a Heisman contender, like I get it. But in terms of, like, NFL arm talent prospect, like, you know, it's just such a big difference. Like, even if you're talking about, like, the difference between, like, Will Levis and Justin Herbert, like, it's just massive. So he should be pretty happy. But yeah, interviewed Quentin Johnson yesterday. It was a great chat with him. Easily the most polite prospect or player I've interviewed over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, sat down and it was yes, sir. And how are you doing? And nice to meet you. Like, I think I've only had like one other prospect, like, or player say like, oh, it's nice to meet you, Stephen Haglund. And then like, he did that. So, you know, Quentin was just super nice. He was a great guy, great character, really fun personality. So if you missed that interview, please go check it out.
Yeah. I love also the Larry Rantry cameo, trying to get that one last gack bump. To see if it really sticks.
He knows. He knows. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he did it. Yeah.
All right, Tyler. So summary, I think we were both in agreement the Chargers probably had the second best class in this AFC West.
I would think so. I'm not gonna watch all the other picks, but having watched all the Chargers picks, I'd say second, and I feel really good about it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think Chiefs fans probably feel that their class is probably the best, you know. Raiders probably feel theirs is the best.
Yeah,
I think we can all agree that at least like the Broncos might be the riskiest, you know, is what it is. Although I like the players there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quick super chat. We had a super chat earlier from Zach Pearson. I wanted to at least acknowledge it, appreciate him. He says, appreciate the constant content, helps immensely with working so much. If you could bring back one former player from the Chargers, who would you choose to help complete the team? Congrats, by the way.
Are we talking like realistic here or someone that I can pull from like the 1960s or you know, like,
well, I would say realistic too, also with like the confines of the roster. Like, I mean, like this team probably wouldn't want like Vincent Jackson, right? Or Malcolm Floyd or, you know, somebody like that.
Oh, sure. What age do I get this player? Like, my first thought went to tight end. Like, give me literally any one of the Chargers' good tight ends that they've had. Because this group is fine, but it's not. There's no Antonio Gates.
They don't have a difference maker. I think Gates is probably the easiest call.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk me into Ronnie Harrison or Eric Weddle too, pairing with Doran James playing safety.
Oh yeah. Bobby Holly. that joke is not gonna be funny.
It's never
gonna be funny. Like in a year, no one's gonna have a single clue what I'm talking about. Like, we're down to six people I think who know what I'm talking
about. I was gonna say, people who are like newer listeners are probably like, Bobby Holly, like, what?
Bobby Holly.
I don't get it.
yeah. Whole thing
fun, guys. Fun times COVID training camp was fun. All right, last super chat here from Alan. He's a two-part question. Do you think there's a chance Duggan gets practice squatted? And who from the tenured players do y'all think run the highest risk of losing a roster spot altogether? And then F with y'all heavy. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it.
Ooh. Does he get practice squatted?
I don't think so.
I suppose there is a chance because they might have to do some dancing with, you know, defensive tackles being hurt, JC Jackson being hurt. So maybe they have to like cut someone, keep JC initially on the roster, then flip Duggan or JC to IR or something. And then Duggan is back to the roster. And then, so the tenured players, as in like they have a contract or they're older? Or
tenured to me would mean somebody not on a rookie contract.
Well, who are the non-Staley guys? Nobody on the line. We're talking about like serious players here.
And he can, if Alan's still in here, he can clarify what he means by tenured. But
yeah,
I mean, we both work in education, and tenured is like you're established, you're safe. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah, yeah, that's what that word means to me. But he can clarify, obviously, if he's still in the chat.
I don't think it's Kenneth Murray, but I mean, they did cut Jerry Tillery, although I think that was a very different thing.
Yeah.
But if they have, like, if Kenneth Murray is told that he's a backup and has to play special teams, and that doesn't work, especially because Ficken might like two, three other players that they like more on special teams than maybe.
Oh, he says he meant more just players who were here last season.
Oh.
Or we could say who've been here since Staley's been here.
Alan, you got me with a good question there. Because it's not even like Alohi. Like Alohi would have been my choice last year, and if he didn't play last year, I would have said it this year. But and they really like him.
Yeah, Murray is an interesting choice, but I think they at minimum you have to see what Deion Henley can do for you. But
yeah,
do you really want like Amen Ogbonmamiga and Nick Neiman as your LB3? I don't think the Chargers would want that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers should and will keep six wide receivers.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that Jalen Guyton just like doesn't look good in training camp and just kind of struggling with his recovery. And also like Darius Davis could look better as a wide receiver than people are thinking. So
yeah,
I think Jalen Guyton probably would be my answer here, even though I would hate it because I would want to see them keep Jalen Guyton.
Yeah, I think they will. I don't hate the idea that Ed, I don't even know how you say this in the chat. I always read it. Ed Mises, sorry, because you hear all the time. I should know this. He says Chris Rumpf. I don't know. The thing with Chris Rumpf is he's so good in the preseason and training camp.
And special teams.
So, you know, how do you cut him? And then he goes to the regular season and there's not a whole lot going on defense. So I think he'll show up like he did the last two years. Crush it, be better than Carlo Kemp, Ty Shelby, those guys. So I think he makes the spot.
Yeah, you'd have to get a massive preseason from one of these other guys, Andrew Farmer, Ty Shelby, Carlo Kemp, Brevin Allen. Like they just, if they sign somebody like a Nick Williams, then I think you could maybe talk yourself more into that kind of scenario.
Yeah. Oh, Trey McKitty. That's actually a really good one. If they bring in a blocking tight end, it's over. I think that if you keep six wide receivers, you keep six defensive tackles, you're keeping three quarterbacks. I guess we'll see about running back, but yeah, McKitty's not a bad one.
Yeah, I agree there. All right, Tyler, that's going to do it for us today. Appreciate everybody for tuning in here. We'll be live on Saturday for just a fun little weekend show. And then Tuesday, we'll be talking AFC hierarchy. Should be a lot of fun there on the Chargers channel. Make sure and subscribe over there. I'm sure most of you guys are, but if you aren't, please go check us out on that feed every single Tuesday. So as always, appreciate you guys. Appreciate Tyler for tuning in here. Appreciate all the support on the Discord, Twitter, all of it. Cannot say this enough. We love you guys. Appreciate all the support, and we'll see you on Saturday.